Am I on? Test, test, test. Am I on? All right. Turn me up. Give me volume. All right. Praise God. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be back. Now, let me just see a show of hands that those of you that have never heard me before, real quick. Show of hands. Okay, so I've been attending this church longer than you have. Welcome back. It's good to have you back. Now, I was born and raised in Tampa, Florida. And lived there for 27 years. I worked for Delta Airlines for many years before I entered the ministry. And I was a beach bum, loved the beach, loved the sun. Of course, Florida is the sunshine state. So I couldn't find a beach bunny to marry, so I went to Colorado and found a snow bunny. And to make a long story short, Liz and I met in February of 81. I was visiting my brother, who was a La Plata County sheriff out in La Plata County, Colorado. And I was visiting him, just snow skiing with him, because I had free flying benefits. So I'd fly out there a lot and snow ski with him. Well, his wife and Liz, my wife, worked together in a dentist office. And so they introduced us. So to make a long story short, we met in February. I flew back out there in April or March, and we had our first date. Flew back out there in April and asked her to marry me. Flew back out there in July and married her. And from the time we met till the time we married, we only spent 3 weeks together. I don't recommend that, but... But if it's God, she's my best friend. We're going on 39 years of marriage, and I love her to life. I'm telling you, she's well, I wish she could be here, but we just finished, or I say I just finished vacation. She's still vacationing with my brother and his wife down in Florida right now. I flew up here from Florida. But she does send her love and looks forward to seeing y'all in the future. So that's kind of let you know a little bit about me. I traveled with Brother Hagin for 20 years. Led praise and worship for his crusades, and then he started asking me to be a regular guest speaker in his meetings all over the country, and so I wouldn't trade that for anything. But since I was here last time I was here was quite a while back. I looked, it was 2003. Since then, 2005, I earned my doctorate. It is earned, by the way. And then a couple years ago, anybody heard of Andrew Womack? Andrew started a television network on the internet back in 2018, and he asked me to do a daily TV program on that network. And so we launched daily. We'd been doing, up until that point, we've been doing for about 8 years, a weekly program out of Dallas-Fort Worth, out of Promised Land Television Network out of Dallas. And we'd been believing God for daily, and so we opened up daily television, and man, it has been so much fun because it's going all over the world, and we're getting people from nations all over the world hooking up with our ministry and just getting the Word of God. You know, I'm like this church. I believe in the Word and the Spirit. If you have the Word only, you dry up. If you have the Spirit only, you blow up. You have the two together, you'll grow up. And I'm just so blessed to be able to teach on television all over the world now and touch lives. Can I give you two quick testimonies? First of all, a little over three years ago, we were in prayer with our employees, and we were praying about souls. The type of ministry, I stand in a couple offices. One of them is teacher, and because of the offices I stand in, you know, you'll have people come up and get saved at the altar calls, but not large numbers like an evangelist would, right, at meetings. So we were just praying, Lord, give us an idea. Give us, we were praying the scripture, give us the heathen for our inheritance. And the Lord told us, I mean, we'd never heard this anywhere. We were wondering if we were hearing from God when he spoke. But in the prayer meeting, he spoke and he said, advertise on Google for souls. Wow. Do what? Advertise on Google. So I didn't know any pastor in the world, and I know pastors all over the world. I didn't know any ministry in the world that was doing it. And I said, well, you know, we've heard from God. So we prayed some more, and he told us set up a salvation website separate from your ministry website and just put the salvation prayer and then start advertising on Google if somebody types in, how do I get saved? So we did that. The first week, 8 people called our ministry and got saved. The next week, 12 people called and got saved. Next week, 22 people called and got saved. Listen to this. After 2 months, we had over 2,000 people that got in touch with us that got saved.
Hallelujah.
Well, that was over 3 years ago. We were believing for 100,000 souls is what we were believing for. And as of a few weeks ago, haven't talked to my IT guy in the last couple weeks, but as of a few weeks ago, we have now past 117,000 people that have gone to our website. Glory to God. It's so exciting. And I'll tell you what, I started looking for a little mini book, because, you know, when people get saved, what we found out from Google is the majority of these people don't go to church. They look to Google for their answers. And so we found out the majority of people we were talking to didn't attend church anywhere. So we looked at all the mini books, you know, The New Birth and Welcome to the Family and all these different mini books that we've always used for years from all these other ministries. But I couldn't find one that talked about why you need a pastor. Couldn't find one that talked about why you need a local church and what kind of church. I couldn't find one that talked about why you need to put God first in your finances, because he's smarter than you are. I couldn't find one that talked about all these things, and the Lord spoke to me to write one. And so we wrote one, and now we have churches all over the nation that are using them for their altar calls, new believers classes, but we're also having ministries order them by the caseload, giving them out on street witnessing ministries and things like that. So we're really excited about that. I didn't even bring one up here to show you, but they're back at the book table. It's called Limitless Life with Jesus. And so if you want to get one of those, I've had so many people. In fact, I had a guy come up to me recently. He was like 30 years in ministry and stuff. And he said, I got your little book, Limitless Life. And he said, it just rekindled my fire. Because we can let things slip. We need to be put in remembrance. So anyway, that's just a little $5 mini book back there if you want to get a hold of that. The other testimony I wanted to give you, how many were here the last time I was here? Let me see your hands. All right, those of you, did any of you get our Heaven's Health Food CD? All right, a couple of you did. All right, well, let me tell you just a recent testimony. Liz and I were in Tennessee ministering recently, and a couple came to the meeting. Come to find out, they had both had terminal cancer, husband, wife, at the same time. She had stage 4, he had stage 3. The doctor said, we give you 6 months to live. They said, okay, so what if we do radiation, chemo, and all those things? They said, well, it may extend your life 6 months. They said, okay, so if we go the doctor route, we're going to live 6 more months and then go to heaven. They said, we'll just do it God's way. And they were good Baptists, but they knew nothing about healing. They went to the largest Baptist church, just about one of the largest in the country, there in Memphis, Tennessee. And so the Lord led them. They didn't know it, but the Lord led them to start searching YouTube for videos on healing. And they happened to run across Larry Hutton Ministries' YouTube channel. And I just happened to put a brand new series on healing on that channel. And they started watching it. Good Baptists got turned on to the Word of God. They ordered my Heaven's Health Food CD, the one I'm talking about, this Heaven's Health Food CD. They ordered it, started listening to it 24 hours around the clock. They just put it on a continual play CD player. And in about 2 weeks, all the cancer disappeared from both of their bodies. 6 months later, they stood in front of Liz and I, giving their testimony. They said, we never took a drop of medicine, never had any treatments. All we did was took the Word of God and applied it to our lives, and we are both now cancer-free. God is God! Whew, I tell you, isn't that exciting, Pastor? I tell you, I had to share that with you before we get in the Word today. So how many of you have your Bibles? If you have your Bibles, whether it's electronic or leather, hold it up. Let's wave them at the devil, make him mad.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Man, I tell you, I'm so excited about being here. You guys are my first meeting of 2020, first meeting of the year. We're going to kick this off the way God wants us to. Turn to Genesis chapter 18 with me. Genesis chapter 18. Let me ask you a couple of questions. How many of you have ever had a down day in your life? All right. Some of you are just afraid to raise your hand, but you don't have to lie. I mean, we all been there, done that, right? How many of you have ever had a stress-filled day in your life? Strife-filled day in your life? Discouraged day in your life? Guilt-ridden day in your life? Shame-filled day in your life? I see all of us are raising our hands. What if I could show you this morning how to never have another one of those days in your life again? Would you be interested? Oh, come on, Brother Larry. That's not possible. Come on, get real. Yeah, I'm going to get as real as I can get. I'm going to get truth. because Jesus said, thy word is truth. Amen. See, I had a supernatural experience. I don't know if anybody knows who Sid Roth is. He's not far from here, but Sid invited me to come on his program because he heard that I had had a supernatural experience with the Lord, and he had me come on the program and share part of what I'm going to share today and teaching people, because the Lord came to me and he said, I'm going to show you in my word what to do, and if you'll do it, you'll never have another down day the rest of your life. You won't have another stress-filled day, won't have another strife-filled day, won't have another bad temper flying off the handle, you know, problem type of day. You won't have any of those if you'll do what I show you. And he showed me what to do, and I started doing it just one day at a time, because I didn't, you know, I'm thinking, man, never have another down day the rest of my life, no more stress-filled, strife-filled, depressed days, discouraged days, bad temper, anger, problem days, none of those. That sounds too good to be true. But I started doing what he showed me in the Word just one day at a time, and just one day, one day, one day, one day, and before I knew it, I'd put together 365 of those one days. And I looked back and realized I haven't had a stress-filled day, a worry-filled day, a bad temper, fly off the handle day. I haven't had one of those. Now, don't get me wrong. I passed up a lot of marvelous opportunities. But see, the Lord showed me in his word how to pass them up. Amen. And so I took the word and I did that. And after doing that 1 year, I decided this is too fun to stop. Living stress-free, worry-free, depressed, discouraged-free, living bad temper, anger, problem-free, living free from all of those negative emotions, I thought, this is just too fun to stop. So I've now been doing it for several decades. My daughter's 26 years old. She's never seen her daddy have a down day. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the Word of God, because this is the truth. When I knew it, made me free. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 8, 31 and 32? If you continue in my word and become a knower of it, knowing truth will make you free.
That's right.
Not just head knowledge, heart knowledge.
Yeah.
So let's start here in Genesis chapter 18. Pastor told me not to keep you past 3 o'clock today. I'm just kidding. For those of you that don't know me, I'm just teasing. No, Genesis chapter 18. Look at verse number 19. Genesis 18, 19. The Lord's talking about Abraham here, and he says, for I know him. You know, he knows every one of us. He said, I know him. He will command his children and his household after him, and they'll keep the way of the Lord. I want you to underline that phrase, the way of the Lord. Highlight it, circle it, whatever you have to do in your, whether it's your electronic Bible or your leather Bible. The way of the Lord. I looked up that word way in the Hebrew, and it's the Hebrew word derech. Derek is a course of life or a mode of action. In fact, because of the Hebrew word that's used, it's really plural, not singular. Meaning that when he said Abraham kept the way of the Lord, that he kept God's ways, because there's many different ways. God has a way for your marriage. God has a way for your finances. God has a way for your physical health. I mean, I'm 65 years young, and I'm in the best shape of my life. No sickness, no disease. I refuse to have that, because when Jesus went to the cross, he bore it for me. So I don't have to. I don't have to bear sin in my life. I don't have to bear sickness in my body. I don't have to have lack or poverty in my finances. I don't have to have depression or discouragement in my soul. I don't have to have anything that Jesus bought and paid for. Boy, that's good preaching, isn't it? Amen, because it's truth, see. And so So this word Derek is talking plural. In fact, let me just give you a couple of scriptures real quick where you can see. I'll just quote them real quick. You guys know Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct you. In all your what? That's the same Hebrew word Derek as we're looking at here. Abraham kept the way of the Lord. Another one that you're familiar with is in Isaiah 55, where God said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher. That's the same Greek or Hebrew word, derech. So we're seeing then by using those scriptures and using scripture to interpret scripture that God has ways for every area of our life, and we can keep those ways. Now I want you to turn over to Isaiah chapter 59, and we're going to talk about one specific way, and that is called in the scriptures the way of peace. The way of peace, when you learn to walk in it,
you can override every negative emotion. You know, we've had people, when I've taught this message, get a hold of it, that were actually going to anger management classes because they had problem controlling their temper and their anger. Well, they no longer go to anger management classes because they learned how to get free from that. We've had people that were on medication for depression that are no longer on medication because they learned how to get free from learning how to walk in the way of peace. You know, most of us, if we don't learn this, we just, a lot of times, we'll blame our personality, you know, for being a person that flies off the handle. Well, you know, that's just my personality. I'm Irish, or I'm Italian. No, you're devilish. You're just yielding to his way instead of God's way, so don't blame your personality. You can change those kinds of things with the Word of God if you're willing to change. We've got to be willing, and God will help us if we are. But look here in Isaiah 59. We're going to read verses 7 and 8. This is actually referring to the children of Israel when they were not walking with God. They were walking in their own way. And look what God said. Their feet ran to evil. They made haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts were thoughts of sin. Wasting and destruction were in their paths. Now look at verse 8. The way of peace they did not know. So evidently, God had a way of peace for them, and he wanted them to know, but because they weren't walking with God, they didn't know the way of peace. But notice it's called the way of what?
Peace.
The way of peace. You ought to underline that. Now, I'm going to show you over in the New Testament where Paul actually quotes Isaiah. Go over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And let's go to verses 16 and 17. This is just the same thing as you just read in Isaiah, but I want you to see Paul referring to this so that we can see this way of peace belongs to us in the new covenant as well as it did to, under the old covenant. In Isaiah, or in Romans 3, verses 16 and 17, again, he's quoting Isaiah, and Paul says, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace, verse 17, the way of peace have they not known. The way of peace. So that tells us then there is a way for God's children to walk in peace. Walk free from stress, walk free from worry, walk free from panic attacks, walk free from discouragement, depression, frustration, guilt, shame, bad temper, anger, all those negative emotions that most of us have come accustomed to living with and just accepting rather than understanding that this is not something I have to live with. Let's look at Luke chapter 1. Turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 76. Luke 1:76. This is actually talking about John the Baptist here. And it says, you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Prepare his what?
Ways.
Well, look at verse 79. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of what?
Peace.
The way of peace. So the way of peace is a way where it will override anxiety, anger, stress, every negative emotion that comes into our lives. This way of peace can override. So what I want to do then is the same thing we have to do to get saved or get healed or anything else. You have to go back to the cross and see what Jesus did there. You can't get saved without knowing that, can you? You have to put your faith that he died for your sins, bore your sins, and then rose again for your justification. You call on Jesus, for by grace are you saved through what?
Faith.
So faith believes in grace, which is what God's already provided for us. Grace enables you to be what you can't be on your own, do what you can't do on your own, correct? So it's by grace that we're saved. And somebody said, are you a grace person or a faith person? I said, how can you separate them?
Exactly.
If you're separating them, you're in error.
Amen.
If you're going to have true Bible faith, it has to be in Bible grace. And if it's not, you're in trouble.
Right.
Which is why I was so thrilled, like, what was it now, 7, 8 years ago when the grace message started being preached. Even though there was error, there was so much truth. And me being all over the world, I'm on the road 40 to 45 weeks every year now for the last 38, 39 years, and so many people I saw in the what we called the faith camp, people that were believed in faith but they didn't understand grace.
Wow.
so many of them were not receiving their healing, not receiving their blessing, not receiving the promises of Abraham and blessings of Abraham. And it's because they were trying to use their faith to get something that Jesus already got for them. And so when the grace message came out and people started appropriating their faith in what Jesus has already done, they weren't trying to get something anymore. They were just receiving what Jesus already got for them. So I was thrilled to see it come to mesh together. And of course, there's always error. There was error in the faith camp. There's error in the grace camp. But you don't do away with truth because of error.
That's right.
In fact, there can't be error without truth.
Come on. Come on.
Hello, to err means to err from. Amen. So anyway, when I saw this way of peace, that God wants me to walk in this way of peace, I learned when the Lord came in my room and sat down with me and taught me this stuff, and I started doing this, it was a game changer for me. It was a life changer. And when I was sharing it on Sid Ross, It's Supernatural TV program, he took me out to eat afterwards, and he said, Larry, he said, this message needs to be heard throughout the whole earth by the whole body of Christ. And he said, this is why, he said, what you're talking about, living free from stress and worry and anger and depression, discouragement, all these different things, he said, those negative emotions will affect every area of our life. Yes. And I've seen it do it. I've seen it destroy marriages. I've seen negative emotions destroy people's finances. I've seen negative emotions destroy people's physical health, destroy relationships. And so I thought, as the Lord showed me to preach on this morning, I thought, man, you're setting your people up here in Jefferson to have the best year they've ever had. You're setting them up to have the best next 12 months, going to be the best 12 months of your life. And that way we're open when God leads us to, and you guys need more finances. So guess what? If our pastors need to build buildings, you and I as individuals need to be blessed.
Amen.
Well, if negative emotions are hindering the blessings, then let's get rid of the negative emotions.
Amen.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
So turn over to Isaiah 53. We're going to go to the great redemptive chapter of Isaiah 53 where it talks about what Jesus did at the cross. You know what saddens me is when you teach a truth like this, just telling somebody, you never have to have another down day the rest of your life. I know I've been doing this for many years now, so I know it works. I preach what I live, and I live what I preach. This isn't just a sermon for me. This isn't just a good message. This is my life. This is why I laid down my life and travel 40 to 45 weeks a year living in hotels and restaurants. It's not because I want to. It's because I'm called to do it. Of course, I want to do what I'm called to do. But you know what I'm saying? It's just, this is my life. And so I want people to know how good God is. I want people to know that you can't. Listen, I had an incurable disease in my body the first 22 years of my life. And when I found out that Jesus at the cross not only bore my sin, but he bore my sickness, I got healed of that incurable disease. And then my wife and I were up to our ears in debt, over a couple $100,000 in debt, and the Lord showed us in the Word how to put Him first and how to take hold of the Word of God on finances, and we paid off our hundreds of thousands of dollars, Larry Hutt Ministry property, we paid off our home. We have no debt anymore and lots of money in the bank where I can pay cash for things now. And it's not because I'm smart, it's because He's smart and I yield to His smartness. Is that a word? I don't know if that's even a word, but it sounds good. and then he taught me this, how to live free from bad temper and anger, how to live free from stress, worry. Stress and worry are forms of fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. It'll shut your faith off. So, man, I'll tell you what, God must love you guys because He's setting you up for the best year ever.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, you find Isaiah 53? Look at verses 4 and 5. These are familiar verses for those of us that teach on faith and talk about healing and everything. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely He, that's Jesus, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I'm reading from the New King James. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our what?
Peace
was upon Him. And by His stripe or blow or bruise, we are healed. So I want you to look at verse 4. Verse 4 said, surely Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Well, I looked up this word grief. Let me just Let me just tell you real quick. This word grief, if you look up the Hebrew word, also includes the definitions of sickness and disease. And if you look up the word sorrows, it also includes the definition of pain. So this is one of the verses that got me healed years ago when I did get healed of that incurable disease. As I learned, Jesus bore my sickness and disease and my physical pain, so I don't have to. And that was one of the things that got me healed, along with other verses. So I was reading this and studying this one time, and I got some really, really good news for you guys this morning. How many want some really good news? All right, listen to this. This word grief and sorrow also means grief and sorrow. I know, that's deep. That's really heavy. I just sit there. It'll sink in a minute. Because grief is a feeling. It's part of your emotions. Sorrow is part of your feelings. It's part of your emotions. And he bore my grief and my sorrows. Well, I learned when he bore my sin, that means I don't have to. I learned when he bore my sickness, that means I don't have to. And so I was so thrilled to learn he bore my grief and my sorrow, and that means I don't have to. In fact, I looked up this word grief again. I knew it included sickness and disease, but you know what? Also, the definition, of course, you know it means grief because it's translated grief here. But the definition of this Hebrew word means sickness, disease, grief, anxiety, and calamity. So Jesus bore my anxiety and my grief. You know, that would cover worry, that would cover stress, that would cover panic attacks. So all those things are included in this word grief. Then I looked up the word sorrows here, which we knew meant pain, but it didn't say physical pain. So it includes physical pain, but it also includes emotional pain. And so I looked up the word sorrows, and it means sorrow, and it means anguish and pain. So when I saw that, I realized, well, this includes depression, anger and bad temper, discouragement, hopelessness, guilt, shame. All of those negative emotions are included here. And when I saw that, I realized, wait a minute, Jesus, you didn't just bear my sin at the cross. And you didn't just bear my sickness at the cross. You bore every wrong feeling that could defeat me and pull me down in life and want me to give up and throw the towel in on life. You bore every negative emotion so that I don't have to let them control me. Just like when I'm tempted to sin, I don't have to yield to it and let that sin control me. When sickness and disease or physical pain comes against my body, I don't yield to it. I say, no, you're not welcome in my body. Jesus bore my sickness. Remember Matthew 8:17. Jesus bore my sicknesses. That means you're not mine. Amen. I talk to sickness and disease when it comes against me. Because Jesus said, if you have faith in God, you'll speak to the mountain, not talk about it. Amen. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. Come on. And so I speak. And so then I realize, wait a minute. Just like I resist sin, just like I resist sickness, I need to resist or not yield to stress, not yield to depression, not yield to bad temper, not yield to any negative emotion. And I get to do that based on what Jesus already did. So there you are. By grace, are you saved? Saved in your emotions, just like saved in your body or saved in your finances or saved from sin. By grace are you saved through faith. So if I put my faith in what Jesus did at the cross concerning my emotions, then I can resist them when they come. Listen, all of us are going to have moments. Remember in John 16:33, Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation come against you. But he said, but be bold and courageous, be of good cheer, because I've already overcome it for you. In other words, don't let them stay. So that was one of the things the Lord taught me, is when the moment comes when I feel depressed or I feel mad and want to fly off the handle or I feel stressed or I feel worried or I feel guilt-ridden or whatever, when the moment comes, I don't let it stay. I resist it. God's not the one bringing it. He doesn't bring the sin. He doesn't bring the sickness, and he doesn't bring the depression. So I wonder who does. Let's use a little gray matter up here. We can figure that out real quick. The thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, our enemy, our arch enemy, Satan, as 1 Peter 5:8 says. So Jesus bore my stress so I don't have to. He bore my depression so I don't have to. My discouragement, I don't have to. My hurt feelings. When I learned this, then now there's nothing you can do to make me have a hurt feeling filled day. You might hurt my feelings for a moment, but I won't let it stay. So the Lord showed me years ago when the feeling of stress or feeling of depression or feeling of discouragement, whatever it comes, you make it a moment, don't build a monument. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Anybody getting anything? Amen. The next verse, Jesus, you know, bore our griefs and sorrows, and then the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The chastisement. If you actually look up that word chastisement, it has a lot of different definitions in the Hebrew. One of the definitions is restraint of my peace was upon him. Another definition of the Hebrew was rebuke of my peace was upon him. Well, just those two, if you think about that, If something's coming to try and rebuke your peace or restrain you from living in peace, Jesus faced that cause or that reason and defeated it too. Now, this is so cool because verse 4, Jesus actually defeated depression, but in verse 5, he faced the reason or cause for me to feel depressed and defeated it for me. Jesus, in verse 4, he defeated stress, but then in verse 5, he faced every reason or cause for me to feel stressed and defeated it. This is so cool because he did all the work. I just get to rest in his finished work. Man, this is a game changer. I had a minister come in my office, and let me tell you, this... The devil is no respecter of person. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher, a minister, a helps person, just a Christian, whatever. He will attack everybody with these things. And there's been a lot of preachers that have fought depression, discouragement, all kinds of stuff. Because I travel the world. I see it all the time. But I had one come in my office, graduated from the same Bible school I did. He sat down with me. He was having a problem with depression. And I made this statement. I shared a couple of scriptures, and then I made this statement. I said, you don't have to allow your feelings to tell you how you feel. Amen. He looked at me like I was nuts. He looked at me like I'd woken him up with a wet dish rag or something, slapped him in the face, you know. He looked at me, he said, say that again? I said, you don't have to allow your feelings to tell you how you feel. He said, Brother Larry, I've never heard that in my life. I said, well, that's why the Lord's having me tell you right now, because you can control your feelings. Amen. You don't have to allow other people's actions to control your feelings. You don't have to allow your hormones to control your feelings. You can control your feelings. That's why I get up every day of my life. Did it again this morning. I get up usually even before I get out of bed, and I'll make a choice how my day's going to go. Because some days you wake up, you feel like it's going to be one of those days. Oh, I see y'all know what I'm talking about. See, because of the situations we're in and all the stuff we're facing, oh, it's going to be one of those days, you know. Oh, I wish the weekend wasn't over. It's Monday. But I make the choice every day of my life. This is why I haven't had a down day, a stress-filled day, a strife-filled day in a lot of years now. It's because I get up every day of my life and I'll say something like this. Lord, this is a day that you have made. I wonder if that's a verse in the Bible. Psalm 118, verse 24, remember? This is a day, Lord, you have made. I choose to rejoice and be glad. And you know what? When you get up the next day, that verse in Psalm 118, verse 24 didn't say, yesterday was a day the Lord hath made. It still says today. And the next day when you get out of bed, it says
today. And the next day when you get out of bed, it says, and next week and next month and next year, every single day for the rest of your life, that verse is not going to change. It's going to tell you the same thing. This is a day. So start rejoicing and being glad. Somebody says, but how can I rejoice and be glad when all hell broke loose? That's when you're supposed to rejoice and be glad, to let all heaven break loose.
There you go. Hallelujah.
That's what I found out is, listen, it's easy to act in faith when nothing's wrong. But it's when you face the test and try. When all hell breaks loose, then let all heaven break loose. From inside you through your words, start releasing the power of life. You can release life or death with that tongue. So you might as well release life. That's why every day of my life I get up after I say some of those things. I'll say, Lord, I will not forget your benefits today. You've forgiven all my sin. You've healed all my diseases. You've redeemed my life from destruction. You crown me with love and kindness, tender mercy. You satisfy my mouth with good things so my youth is renewed like the eagles. And I thank you, Lord, the greater one is in me and he's greater than anything I'll come against today. And something good is going to happen to me today. Somebody blamed me. They said, oh, you're just copying Oral Roberts. I said, no, I'm copying Dr. Jesus. Hallelujah. This is, Pastor, I know this happens to you guys all the time, Pastor Allie, Pastor. You're preaching along and all of a sudden you just want to say Selah. You know, where you just don't want to say anything else. Selah. Because I'm going to still say some good stuff, but if you'll just take what you just learned about what Jesus did at the cross and use the same faith you used to get saved, which was not based on how good you were, it was based on what Jesus already did. If you'll use that same faith, Jesus bore my depression. I'm not going to have another depressed day the rest of my life. Jesus bore my stress. I'm not going to have another stress. Jesus bore my bad temper. I'm not yelling at my wife anymore. Or I'm not yelling at my husband anymore, whatever it is. You don't have to yield to those negative. In fact, let me just show you something. Go over to Galatians. Go over to Galatians chapter 5. Oh, this is so good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now I see why you wanted me to share this. I was trying to get some other things to share with you, but the Lord just kept bringing me back to this. So, Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at verses 22 and 23. I'm going to read from the New King James again. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. Now it's going to mention nine fruit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there's no law that can stop them. So the fruit of the Spirit starts with love. Of course, we know God is love, so all the other fruit would come out of love, but we also know love should be a fruit because it's called a fruit. You are the, Jesus is the vine, you are the branches. Where does fruit grow? On the branches. So love should be there, right? But notice, when the Lord brought me over here and was teaching me how to live this, he said, what are the second and third fruit mentioned? And I said, well, it said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. So the second and third fruit mentioned is joy and peace. You know what I call those fruit? I call them feeling fruit. Because joy and peace affect the way you feel. They affect your emotions, your feelings. When the Lord brought me here, he said, what are the second and third fruit mentioned? I said, joy and peace. And then he made this statement. He said, my fruit of joy and my fruit of peace are not seasonal fruit. Some of y'all got that. Selah, let me sit down here a minute. Let me let you dwell on it. Because it exploded in me. I guess one reason why it exploded in me, because my first job when I was 15 years old was picking fruit in Florida. Grew up in Florida, so we had orange groves everywhere, right? So I picked fruit. Well, I understood, and I love fruit season, because if I was working at McDonald's, Pizza, wherever I was working, I'd quit. I'd go work in the orange groves for a few months. I made four times what I made at the restaurants. So I love fruit season. The only problem, it was a season. So I understood when the Lord said to me,
My fruit of peace and joy are not seasonal fruit. It just went off in me. I just realized, whoa, wait a minute. That means I have peace and I have joy in me 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. I don't have to live free from this peace and joy. I get to live with this peace and joy. Because when the Holy Spirit moved in, he brought 9 pieces of baggage. And that was because he wanted me to get rid of my baggage.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on, man.
And so when I saw this, and listen, I've heard somebody say that one time they were going through some hell breaking loose in their life, and they said, "Brother Larry, I lost my peace." And I said, "No, you didn't lose your peace. You just didn't use your peace. Because the only way you could lose it is if the Holy Ghost moved out."
That's right. Come on.
He ain't moving out. Even if you sin, he's not moving out. God's salvation package is a lot more durable than your little sin. If your little sin could cause you to lose your salvation, then what you do is bigger than what Jesus did. Praise you. Man, I am flowing this morning, Pastor. I mean, I'm saying things in ways and things I've never said before, so this is good. I'm going to get this message myself. Give me a copy of this message. So the fruit of the Spirit, and so when he said, "My fruit are not seasonal," then I realized, all right, so I have peace in me. In fact, while I'm talking, turn over to John chapter 14. I have this peace in me 24 hours a day. So when somebody's ugly to me, mean to me, where I could get hurt, my feelings hurt, I have his peace and joy. I don't have to allow it to hurt me. Because the peace and joy is more powerful than their actions. In fact, it's more powerful than my body, my chemicals in my body, my hormones. Let me just give you a couple examples here. Because it says joy and peace here are fruit. And they're from the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit moves in, we have this fruit all the time. Let me give you two examples. Give you a Bible example, then a testimony. First of all, do you remember the time Jesus was crossing the ocean? Not the time he walked on the water, but the time he's in the ship and the storm came up. Remember that story? And remember, the storm got so bad that even professional fishermen, part of the 12 apostles, got scared where they thought they were going to die. When they went and woke Jesus up, he was on the back of the ship, you know, asleep. And when they woke him up, they said, "Jesus, don't you care? We're about to die." So it had to not be a normal storm for people who, you know, live their lives out on the ocean fishing and stuff. This had to be a major storm. And so they're all thinking they're going to die. They wake Jesus up, and it's kind of hilarious, really, when you read this story. This is the first thing they said: "Don't you care?" Don't you care? They're telling the Messiah that's getting ready to lay his life down for, "Don't you care about us? We're going to die." And it's funny because when you read the story, he just ignores them. He gets up. He doesn't even talk to them. He talks to the storm. And he says, "Peace, be still." Peace. And the peace that came out of him through his mouth changed atmospheric conditions. Wow. I'm showing you how powerful this peace is, friends. Because, see, it's easy to sit there and dwell on our problems and how nobody understands and, "No, how can I get through? Nobody's going through what I'm going through, and I don't know what I'm going to do." And it's easy to dwell on those things and not even realize that the peace in you is more powerful than all of that. Can change your atmosphere. In fact, we had a lady come. We were preaching in Jackson, Mississippi. A lady came to our meeting. She stood in front of us. We had been at the church 2 years earlier. She stood. She said, "Brother Larry," and Liz was standing next to me, so we both got to hear the testimony. She said, "I was bipolar." Now, I don't know if you know what bipolar is. For those of you that don't, it's a condition where the doctors say it's chemical imbalances in your body, and so if they give you some medicine, they can try and regulate your feelings and your emotions so that you know you don't have suicidal tendencies so much, and depression, all that stuff. And she said, well, I was bipolar for over 40 years. She said, I was on medication for almost 40 years. She said, my brother was bipolar. My parents were bipolar. So the devil was just taking advantage of their lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, God said in Hosea 5, 6. Isaiah 5, 13, my people go into captivity because they have no knowledge. So he was just taking advantage of them not knowing that Jesus had bore this for them. They don't have to have this. Well, she got a hold of my teaching. I didn't teach on this in a meeting she was in. She got a hold of my stuff. We have a book and a CD series back on the product table that people, she got that teaching, and she learned while she's on medication and bipolar, tried to commit suicide numerous times through her life, she learned that Jesus bore this for her at the cross, and she does not have to allow these feelings to control her anymore. She gets to decide how she feels. Amen. Well, 2 years later, we're back at the church. She's standing before. She said, I've been off medication for 2 years. I'm not bipolar anymore. In fact, she was now the praise and worship leader of the church. She said, I just wanted you to know that this teaching changed my life. And I asked her, I said, now, let me ask you a question. When you quit the medicine, because, you know, they tell you not to do that, you know, you need to wean yourself off and all that stuff. But she just quit cold turkey because she knew Jesus did this for her, just like she quit cold turkey sinning when she became a saint. And so she said, I asked her, I said, now, when you quit the medicine, I said, did like any of the negative emotions, you know, all the feelings, did they try and come back on you or anything? She started laughing. She said, oh, yeah. She said, after 45 years, she said, I knew what they felt like. She said, this time I had inside information. She said, when the feelings came this time, she stood up. She said, I stood up and said, it is written, depression. She said, I would talk to whatever feeling was coming against me. You're not coming in my life. You're not coming in my body. I am healed. I am free. I am delivered. In fact, I got the peace of God in me. And so now it's 2 years later, and she's totally free. In fact, we've had several now bipolar people. The last lady that was delivered from being bipolar by getting a hold of this teaching, she was on weekly shock treatments for that condition. Medication, shock treatments, trying to control the emotions. But then she got shocked by Jesus and got totally set free. Hallelujah. Did I tell you to turn to John 14?
Yes.
I guess I had to turn there, right? Hold on here a second. John chapter 14. And let's look at verse 27. John 14, 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. Now, if you have a red letter edition, you'll know it's Jesus talking. If you don't, you'd have to go back a little bit and read and realize it's Jesus talking here. But he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. So let me ask you a question. Did Jesus tell a lie?
No.
Well, he and the Father are one. It's impossible for God to lie, so it's impossible for Jesus to lie, right? All right, so Jesus said, my peace I give to you. So do you have it?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
The answer is yes. All of you didn't answer, so maybe I'd ask again. Can Jesus lie?
No.
All right, did he say, I give you my peace?
Yes.
So do you have it?
Yes.
So even when you don't use it, you have it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
So if you fly off the handle, you're just not using it.
That's right.
You allow yourself to be depressed, you're not using it. To be discouraged, to be stressed, to be hurt feelings and carry those hurt. If you're allowing those emotions to stay, then it's because you're not using the peace and joy that will change your feelings. He said, my peace I give to you. I leave it with you and I give it to you. Think about that. You and I have the same peace Jesus had in him. And you know what? Since he said, I and the Father are one, then that's the same peace God has. Wow. I have the same peace in me God Almighty has. Whew. Pretty cool, because it's not a natural peace and not a natural joy. Just like the last fruit mentioned is self-control. Did you know that you can control yourself with God's self-control and not your self-control? There's some revelation for somebody. Some people have so many problems, whether it's with diet or whether it's with feelings or whether it's with a mate or whether it's with finances or not spending money like they shouldn't, or I just can't control myself. Well, then quit using your natural self-control and start using supernatural self-control. Because you can do all things through all things includes all things. So you can use self-control, which is not your self-control, it's God's self-control, to control yourself, feelings-wise or any other area of your life.
Amen.
Selah. I wasn't even planning on saying that. This is just, I'm flowing with the Spirit here, so we're having a Holy Ghost meeting, aren't we? Well, when you flow with the Spirit, it's a Holy Ghost meeting. It may not be a swing from the chandelier, jump the pew type Holy Ghost meeting, but it's a Holy Ghost meeting, I'm telling you. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus said, I give you my peace. Now watch the last part of this verse. This gets so good. In fact, being raised in the woods in Florida, I just say it this way. This is getting gooder and gooder. So watch this. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This word heart, the Greek word cardia, about 50% in the New Testament is talking about your spirit man. The other 50% is used figuratively in the Greek, talking about your thoughts and emotions and feelings. This is one of the times it's talking about the thoughts and emotions. He said, don't let your feelings be troubled. Don't let your feelings be afraid. Don't let. King James, New King James says, let not. So don't let. So my question is, does that sound like we have a choice? Don't let? Kind of sounds to me like I don't have to let. That means I get to make a choice. Don't let. Don't let. Don't let. All right. Then I started choosing many years ago. I'm not going to let that feeling stay. I'm not going to let that emotion stay. You know, I've had doctor friends. I have a good friend that's a doctor, and I've had doctor friends tell me numerous times through the years that negative emotions, whether it's stress or depression or anger, all those negative emotions, those are the main causes of all sickness and disease. And that's why so often doctors are, you know, frustrated that they can't diagnose and they end up misdiagnosing. I had one doctor tell me, he said, when I'm in medical school, they teach us when you come in and tell us your symptoms, then we know, well, we have, in some cases, that he said, we may have four categories to choose from. Okay, you're telling me these symptoms. Well, it's either in this category or this category or this category. So I've got four. So which curtain do you choose, you know? So, all right. So he said, you know, we have to try and diagnose, and they do it to the best of their ability. Doctors are trying to help people. And so they diagnose, and after they diagnose and they'd prescribe the medicine that went with that particular diagnosis and it doesn't work, then they have to move to curtain number two. And after that doesn't work, they have to go to door number three and door number. And so after they go through all of them, and your symptoms are real. They are real. I've been there. They're real. I've seen so many other people depressed and discouraged and or hurting, they're hurting everywhere in their body and things like that, and the doctors can't figure out what it is. It's real pain. It's real hurt. But you're not going to diagnose this because it's a spiritual problem, not a natural one. And then because of the depression and the stress coming out of the spirit and you allowing to stay in your life, then it affects the body. Your body wasn't created to live in stress. Your body wasn't created to live angry and flying off the handle. Your body wasn't created. So when you do that, you just open the door for things to go awry in your body that can't be diagnosed. That's why I was kind of surprised when the Lord had me tell me to teach on this subject, because normally I'll do like three or four days on this subject, a 3 or 4 day meeting. And we've had people in our meetings for 3 or 4 days that had been having physical problems. I mean, they'd had their pastor prayed for them, the great
well-known preachers gone to their meetings and evangelists gone to their meetings, even people that had gifts of healings and words of knowledge and all that, and laid hands on them and they weren't healed. But they sat in our meeting, and this is not based on me, this is just God's word. They learned how to live in peace during the 3 or 4 day meeting, and all the symptoms began disappearing, and a week later they were completely healed. Just because they got rid of the stress or depression or discouragement or bad temper or whatever, they said, okay, you're not welcome in my life anymore. I'm going to live in peace.
Amen.
The rest of my life. Wow. So he said, don't let. So when I saw this years ago, I thought, okay, if God said don't let, then I don't have to let. But here's the deal. You know what we try and do when we hear a message like this? We face the problem, whether it's a week later or a couple days later, all of a sudden we face the situation where we can get mad or get depressed or stressed or whatever, and then we remember half of the message. We remember, oh, don't let, don't let, don't let, so I'm not going to let this bother me. I'm not going to let this bother me. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to let this bother me. 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 I'm not going to... And we blow it, man. We just, and then guilt and shame and all that comes too, and now you're worse off mentally than you were before. The problem is we took the latter part of the verse out of context and tried to do it without the first part of the verse. And you can't do that. Context is everything. Jesus said, I give you my peace. Now use that peace to not allow you to feel that way anymore. He's saying, use supernatural peace. Use something supernatural. Yield to what I've already done at the cross. And then you won't allow those feelings to control you anymore. Go over to John 16. I quoted that a little while ago. Let's turn over there. John chapter 16. Man, is this good or what? John 16. Verse 33, John 16, 33. These things, Jesus is talking here, he said, these things I've spoken to you. Well, that would include what he just said. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, because the Bible was not written in chapter and verse. So the chapters and verses were all added for division's sake and reference sake, but it was just said a short time before this is what he says here. These things I've spoken to you. Well, that would include, I've given you my peace. He said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. King James says you might have. Actually, if you look up this this Greek word, you might have or you may have, it's the Greek word echo. And it means to hold, to possess. It means a relation with. It means a condition. So there was no word might or may in the Greek at all. So why they translated it, you might have peace or you may have peace, is not even accurate. Is what he's actually saying is, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you hold peace. You possess peace. Your relation is with peace. Your condition is peace. Your ability is peace. Because you're in me. Well, how many of you are in Christ? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So guess what? We already hold peace. We already have it. We have a relation with peace. Ephesians 2:14 says Jesus is your peace. So we already have it. So in the world, you're going to face tribulation. It goes on to say, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. So you're going to have tribulation come against you, but be of good cheer. That doesn't mean to fake it.
Right.
Okay, I'll just plaster on a fake smile and try and fake it. No, don't fake it. Faith it. Big difference. Faith in what Jesus has already done or what he said. What did he say here? He said, but be of good cheer. Literally, the Greek says, be bold and be courageous. So that'll cause you to be of good cheer if you're bold and courageous. But the bold and courageous is based on something. It's based on what he goes on to say. In the world, you're going to face tribulation, but be bold and courageous because I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Well, what are you talking about, the world? Well, if you look up the word tribulation, it includes anguish.
and stress and pressure, all the things of the negative emotions, along with all the other physical attacks and stuff. So tribulation includes every negative emotion. He said, in the world, you're going to face all these negative emotions, but be bold and courageous. I've already overcome the world. I've already overcome the depression.
Amen.
I've already overcome the stress.
Amen.
And we already went to Isaiah 53. We found out when he did it was back at the cross.
Amen.
So this is a finished work of Jesus. Jesus doesn't have to come and set me free from depression. He already has. Now I need to yield to that. Through faith, I go ahead and take hold of the grace that's already available. Wow. Cool, Jesus. And so when the Lord actually brought me to this passage and showing me this, he said, Larry, I've taken the power of depression out of it. In fact, if you read the Amplified of this translation, I don't know if you guys can put up the Amplified or not, but it said, I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of power to harm you and conquered it for you. I've deprived it of power. The Amplified says, I've deprived it of power. Oh, good, they put it up. Notice he said, I've told you these things so that in me you'll have perfect peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, distress, and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is, well, this is not the Amplified Classic here. The Amplified Classic says, I've deprived it of power to harm you. Now, what it's talking about, the world, or everything that the world throws at you, which would be stress, depression, all that. So when the Lord brought me here, he said, listen, he said, when depression comes against you and you all of a sudden feel depressed, you know it starts as a thought, don't you? So when you feel depressed, he said, that depression that's coming against you has no power to make you depressed. I've already defeated it. I've already taken the power out. So it's a front. It's a facade. It's a big bag of hot air with no oomph behind it. So when I saw that, this is what the Lord said. Here's what happens when depression comes. Because it can't make you feel depressed, it has to try and get you to believe in it. And when you believe in it, since it doesn't have power of its own, when you believe in it, you empower it to overwhelm you. Did y'all get that? So that's what I realized I've been doing years when I'd fly off the handle or when I get stressed or depressed or worried about something or get my feelings hurt. I was just yielding to something that had no power to make me feel that way. But because of a lack of knowledge, I didn't know it, so I didn't resist it. But man, when all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, you don't have power to make me discouraged. You don't have power to make me depressed. You don't have power to make me all angry flying off the handle. Let me give you a good example. Let's say that I was best friends with Pastor and Allie. I mean, I just spent every day with them. We knew each other inside out like a book, you know, and just spent a lot of time together. And let's just say that I was here and I came up to you, and I had this beautiful package. And I handed you this package, and you looked down, and you thought, man, that is the most beautiful package I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen a package that's more this beautiful than this. And so when you look up to say thank you for whatever I just gave you in this package, you look up, and I'm running away. And you're wondering why I'm running away. And as I'm running away, I say, it's a bomb. And you look down, and all of a sudden you see the timer, this little timer counting down from 10, 9, 8, 7, and I'm running away. Now, let me ask you, you think you would have thoughts that would affect your emotions? Think maybe panic, maybe fear, maybe stress, maybe whatever. But let's say your pastors were standing behind you. And as I'm running away, it's a bomb. They lean up to you, and both of your ears, one on one side, one on the other, they said, we took the explosives out. Now, if you believed them, you believed their word, you'd look at that timer. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, click. You never got stressed, never got depressed, never got in fear, because you knew that bomb had no power.
Amen.
It was a bomb. But the power was taken out. And that's what Jesus has done with your depression. That's what he's done with stress in your life. Worry. We had a 75-year-old lady recently contact our ministry. She was actually from this part of the country. She was 75, and she said, I'm a PK, preacher's kid. My dad was a pastor for 45 years. She said, we did not know anything about this part of the gospel that Jesus bore, our stress and depression, worry. And she said, so I was a world-class worrier. She said, in fact, I would worry about anything and everything and get stressed about anything and everything. I carried everybody else's worries, and when I found out something was wrong with them, I carried that problem, and I stressed. She said, it just for the last 70-some years, it's just been a mess. My life's been such a mess. She said, but I got a hold of your teaching. I think she was watching our television program, and I taught this on my TV program. She said, I started watching your program, and I got a hold of the fact that, wait a minute, I've been worrying and stressed about things all my life, and Jesus bore this so I don't have to. And so she got a hold of us 6 months after she got a hold of the truth, and she hasn't had a down day, a worry-filled day, a stress-filled day for 6 months. And so she got in contact with us and said, and this is how she said it, I am living the dream. That's literally how she said, 75 years old, she said, I'm living the dream. I am having so much fun in life. I just can't even tell you how much fun I am. It's like I'm in dreamland. I'm having so much fun. And she said, but Larry, I have one question for you. She said, why didn't somebody tell me before I was 75? I said, you know, I don't know why somebody didn't tell you, but I do know the Bible said God will redeem your time. So he'll make the rest of your year so fun and so full of peace and so restful that you'll forget the former years.
Yeah. Amen.
So we can put forgetting those things which are behind and start pressing toward the things that are ahead, especially when you have the truth that has made us free. And so Jesus says here, he said, listen, in the world, stress, depression, worry, and all these things are going to come against you, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Man. Whew. Lord. Since I usually preach this for days and days, I'm trying to sense whether the Holy Ghost wants me to keep going here or stop here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We've heard enough that if we'll take this and apply it to our life, this will be the best year of your life. Somebody said, but Brother Larry, I'm already living in peace and joy. I know, but this is going to be the best year of my life, and I'm living in it. In fact, this year is going to be better than last year. And last year was wonderful. And the year before, every year is better. You know why? Because I believe and say. And so faith partakes of grace, and grace flows, and then it's better than the year before. But the Lord said this to me. He said, you know, the only way you can be depressed or stressed or any of the negative emotions you could put in there, but let's just use depressed. The only way you can be depressed is if it's all about you. He said, it's impossible for you to be depressed if it's all about me. I might have to tweet that later. I haven't said that before, but this is something the Lord said to me years ago. Wow. So if you follow me on Twitter, you may see this tweet later. But anyway, think about that. I mean, there's no way on God's green earth to be depressed if I'm focused on Jesus. Possible. The only way I could be depressed or stressed or worried about something is if it's about me and how they treated me and what they did to me or what's going to happen to me or what's going to do this and how's this going to work and it's all about me, then that's the only way I could be worried or stressed or depressed or mad or, well, he didn't do this or she didn't do that or they, you know, blaming somebody else. Remember what we found out in Isaiah 53, verse 4, Jesus bore, let's use bad temper, for example, the anger problem. Jesus bore my bad temper, but then remember in verse 5, he faced every reason or cause for me to be angry or fly off the handle. So that means if he faced the reason or cause, then I can't blame you. Yeah, but he made me so mad, or she made me. No, he did not, or she did not. You chose. Because you can't make me. You could come up to me and say, Brother Larry, I hate your guts. You're ugly. You're stupid. You know, I just don't like you at all. And you're not going to hurt my feelings. You may get me to pray for you. But you're not going to hurt me, because I won't accept it. I live in this peace. I live in this joy. And it is too fun to live any other way after doing it. After I did it the first year, that's when I realized, man, I'm not stopping this. This is too fun. And the cool thing about this, yeah, Lord, I'll share that. Thank you. The Lord said this to me. He said, this kind of throws some people off when I share this. I haven't shared this very often, but y'all are in a place where you can handle it. The Lord created man, male and
female.
Ah, so he must know the emotions of both. And so when he bore our grief and sorrow, it didn't say he bore the male's grief and sorrow and depression. He said he bore ours, male and female. Yeah, yeah, but you just don't understand females. Yeah, but God does, because he's both male and female. God's male and female. Yeah, God's male and female. He created us in his image, male and
female.
Hello. So he understands how a male feels, and he understands the emotions and feelings of a female, and that's why he sent Jesus to take care of both. That's why this one lady I was telling you about in Jackson, Mississippi, you know, she's bipolar, and she said, you know, they told me it was chemicals and hormones and all that stuff. She said, but once I found out what Jesus did, I found out his peace was more powerful than my hormones and chemicals. So I started talking to them and saying, no, you're not going to make me feel this way. My body's not going to make me feel out of peace. My emotions aren't. My time of month. You know, there's always a time for everybody. It may be that time of month, but it may be that time of life. I remember when I entered my 50s, I had somebody tell me, get ready, Brother Larry, you're getting ready to enter midlife crisis. So I got in the Bible to see if I could find midlife crisis, Pastor Eddie. And I couldn't find midlife crisis. All I could find was midlife blessing. So I passed up the crisis. Never came. Amen. Or if it did, it came and went, because I didn't see it. I found out, you know, Pastor Eddie and I were at dinner last night talking about, man, why would we want to retire? Somebody asked me that recently. I was sharing with him. Somebody asked me, so Brother Larry, when are you going to retire? I said, retire from what? Well, you know, retire. You know, retire. When are you going to retire? I said, I don't have a job. I have a calling. So even if you retire from your job, you still have a calling. Don't ever retire from God.
Come on there.
When you retire from a natural job, you can just work in the ministry more.
Yeah.
Help your pastors more. You can do more for God. But I saw something years ago in the scriptures that Moses did more when he turned 80 till he lived to 120. He did more from 80 to 120 than he did his first 80 years. He ain't going to outdo me, friends. Not somebody that didn't have God living in him. Not somebody that hadn't been redeemed yet.
Yes.
Come on, we have it a whole lot better off than Moses did, my friends. He lived under an old covenant established on old promises. You and I are under a better covenant established on better promises. Man, your latter years ought to be your best. All right, I'm going to close with this. This is a different subject, but since I'm talking about this, I feel led of the Lord. So I was in my office. This was a few years ago. I was in my office praying, studying. I was not studying any particular subject, just reading the Word, spending some time in the Word. And the Lord said, turn over to Matthew 8:17. So I turned over there. He said, did I bear your sicknesses? And I said, yes, sir, you bore my sicknesses. Because Matthew 8:17 says that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So he said, did I bear your sicknesses? I said, well, it says he bore our is an all-inclusive term, so yeah, you bore my sickness just like everybody else. He said, at what point, listen to this, at what point in your life, in other words, what age, at what point in your life does that not apply to you anymore? Do you reach a certain age where that doesn't work for you anymore? I said, no, sir. I said, it said Jesus bore my sicknesses, so that's no matter what age I am. He said, at what point does 1 Peter 2:24, by my stripe you were healed? At what point or what age does that quit working for you? I said, at no point. He went through several different scriptures, and then he said, you do not have to yield to diseases that are associated with old age. Don't you even think about, because when I bore your sicknesses, it includes Alzheimer's, dementia, Lou Gehrig's, Parkinson's, you name any disease that's associated with old age, and he said, I bore them as much as I bore cancer, colds, or anything else.
Thank you, Lord.
So I'm never going to have that stuff in my body. If it ever attacks my body, it won't get to stay. Because I have been attacked. I've been attacked with tumors and all kinds of stuff in my body, but I won't allow them to stay. Why? Because Jesus bore it for me. But I wanted to share that with you because that may be something that will help you, or maybe you can encourage with somebody else. You and I do not have to yield to any sickness and disease. Ever.
Hallelujah.
When you're ready to go, if you want to live as long as Abraham did, 175, that'll throw a bunch of people off right there. Just, I could live as long as they... 120 is not a maximum, friends. Study it out. It's actually a minimum. If you'll study Moses, the only reason he died at 120 is because he disobeyed God.
Right.
He was not supposed to die then. Go ahead and read about Jehoiada after Moses. Jehoiada the high priest, 137. Go ahead and read about all these other people way after Moses that lived a whole lot longer.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm getting a lot of rusty gears a-ticking here going, whoa, wait, what did he just say? But it's good news. I promise you that. It's good news. With long life, God wants to say, not long existence, long life. Well, life is prosperous and healthy and full of peace and full. That's life. God's life. That's how he wants you to live. So I've just decided, you know, if Jesus tarries, then I'll just be a good example, you know, when I'm 80 and I'm as healthy as when I was 40 and when I'm 100 and I'm as strong and healthy as when Moses at 120 was as strong and healthy as when he was young. He didn't have anything wrong with him. His eyesight was perfect. He had no arthritis, bursitis, tendonitis. All he had was God-itis. And he could do that without God living on the inside of him. How much more can you and I? Hallelujah. Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters right now in Jesus' name. Lord, you have revealed to us such wonderful news today, Lord God, such good word out of your truth. You said knowing this truth would make us free. So I'm praying that everybody's eyes would be open to this truth, their understanding enlightened to this truth. Oh, Lord, show us, reveal, help them to see. And these next 12 months will be the best 12 months of their life, Lord God. Okay, I will. He just said, have him say that.
Next 12 months
are going to be the best 12 months
of my life.
The next 12
months
are going to be the best 12 months
of my life.
The next 12
months
are going to be the best 12
months
of my life. Now let's say it together.
The next 12
months are going to be the best 12 months of my life.
Woo!
Hallelujah! Glory to your name, Lord. And let me tell you something. What you declare is so important. In fact, years ago when I was in my office one day, this was many years ago, the Lord said, write down this verse of Scripture, take it to the office with you, and I want you to quote it as often as you can. So I wrote down a verse of Scripture, didn't take my Bible with me, just took this verse of Scripture on a piece of paper, and I quoted it all day long. I bet you by the time I went to bed that night, I'd quoted it 70 or 80 times. And so when I got out of bed the next morning, the Lord said, take that verse of Scripture you have written on that piece of paper, take it with you again, do the same thing again. So I did it again. By the time I went to bed that night, it was probably 70 or 80 times. The third morning I got up and the Lord said, take that verse of scripture with you again. Well, I already, by quoting it that many times, by that third day, I had it memorized. But he said, take it, look at it, and read it, and speak it out loud so your own ears could hear it. So I did it again that third day. Fourth day, he said, take that same verse of scripture with you again. I said, Lord, I'm ready for a new scripture. He said, no, take that verse of scripture with you again. I didn't know what he was doing yet. But he said, take that verse of scripture with you again. So I did the fourth day. This went on for 7 days. I mean, by the fifth day, I could quote the verse backwards. I could start from the middle and quote it both ways. Not at the same time, but you know. Because, man, I had it memorized. But something happened between about that fourth day and the seventh day. It went from memory to becoming part of the fabric of my being. I would face, if I faced a test or a trial in life where that verse applied to the situation I was in, I didn't even have to think what to do. The Holy Ghost would bring to my remembrance things he had said, and it would just come, it is real. I'd find myself speaking it before I thought it. So the second week, the Lord gave me a new verse. But then he had me do the same thing again for 7 days. 7 days on just one verse. He wasn't having me read my Bible. He was having me take one verse and speak it. So I'm thinking about it all day long until it became a part of me on that seventh day. He said, what if you do this for 1 year? Well, my lightning fast mathematical mind, 52 verses of scripture that I would not just have memorized, but that they would be a part of the fabric of my... What if you did it for 2 years? I see your mathematical mind's going, 104? That'd be more than a lot of preachers know. But see, I had already gone the other route. I had already read through the Bible in a year, done it a couple times. But somebody came up to me after I did it one time, and they said, well, so you read through the Bible in a year. I said, yep. I said, what'd you learn? And they caught me off guard. What do you mean what I learned? Well, yeah, you read through the whole Bible. Tell me something you learned. He said, come on, why are you hesitating? Didn't you learn something? I said, well, I had to read a New Testament scripture, an Old Testament scripture, a psalm, and a proverb. I didn't have time to stop and think about what I was reading. Some of y'all laughing because you probably did the same thing I did. Anyway. So when the Lord showed me this, see, meditating on the word day and night is what causes it to get in you. So then he told me, he said, put together a deck of cards for people. So we did. We put a deck of cards together, 52 cards, one for per week. This put together a deck. On the front of the card, put the scripture. On the back of the card, write your personal confession, what you declare and decree. And, of course, people can take it and make it their own, change it, whatever. But if you want to get this, this is becoming an awesome aid for people to know the truth. Knowing truth is what makes you free. And so if you want to get one of those deck of cards, it's becoming, I mean, these make great gifts for graduations. And we sold a lot of them for Christmas presents, but a lot of people buy them for birthday presents and anniversaries and all that as well. So that's back there. Just wanted to make you aware of that. If you want more of this teaching that I taught on this morning, since I only had one service, then we have the CD and the book. They're back on the table. It's called Free From Me. Isn't that a great title? Free From Me. You got to get free from yourself if you want to live in peace and joy. So Free From Me. And then the book is called Internal Affairs, Emotional Stability in an Unstable World. If you ever needed to learn to live in peace and joy, it's now with all the crap and junk that's going on in this world. And so if you want to get, I tell people, buy both. You can buy them separate if you want, but the CD series covers things the book doesn't and vice versa, so I encourage people to get both. And if you want downloads rather than CD, you can always download on our website. Just go get them on the website. And then if you want to get a hold of the Heaven's Health Food CD that got that couple healed of cancer, and we've had just about every type of cancer healed while listening to this now. Stomach cancer, brain cancer, lung cancer, leukemia, gosh, we've had all kinds, melanoma, all kinds of stuff. So do you guys have that queued up back there where they could, so many people have never, so many people have never heard it. So let's give them a sample real quick. This is Heaven's Health Food CD that they're going to give you a sample of. Make sure the volume's up.
The New English Bible says, I, the Lord, am your healer.
This is Exodus 15, 26.
The Sporel translation says, I am Jehovah, your physician. The Basic English translation says, I am the Lord, your life giver. Young's translation says, for I, Jehovah, am healing you.
Thank you, Lord.
The Knox translation says, I am the Lord, and it is health I bring you.
Free of charge.
When the Goodspeed translation talks about the diseases, it says, for I, the Lord, make you immune to them.
Cut it right there. I'm telling you, you listen to something like that, and you're going to get faith to be healed. We also have wealth scriptures back there. We have peace scriptures back there, which is a great one, too. We have wisdom scriptures, which is all of Proverbs. Everyone, we have love scriptures. We have in Him, in Christ, reality scriptures. We have seven different subjects back there, but every one of the same as that. They're all music behind my voice, and I quote many translations of one verse before I go to another verse. So just so you know, they're all back there. And then the last thing I'm going to mention, besides if you want to get the whole the mini book, the last thing I want to mention is divine economics. If you are tither, if you're a tither and a giver, and yet you're still in debt, I really encourage you to get this, because what the Lord taught us, what He did back at the cross, just like what we saw this morning, something else He did at the cross, when we learned what He did at the cross concerning my poverty and lack, it changed everything. And so divine economics will really help you if you're not out of debt, you'd like to get out of debt, or you just want to learn God's system, that'll really help you. It's over 3 hours of teaching divine economics, so that's back there. Let me pray for you real quick. Father, I pray now for my family. Lord, I pray not, they heard the word this morning. I could tell they were taken hold of and excited, but now, Lord, I'm going to pray they'll be doers and not just hearers. They've heard it. They're excited about it. The devil's going to try and come and steal the word. He's going to try and make them wayside ground. He's going to try and make them thorny ground or stony ground. But, Lord, they're going to be good ground, because they're going to take this and they're going to act on it and they're going to see it produce fruit in their lives, and it's going to be fruit that remains. I thank you for that, Father. And, Lord, if there's anybody here this morning within the sound of my voice, anybody listening online that's not saved, Lord, I just pray right now that you would show them your goodness. Show them how much you love them. It's your goodness that caused men to repent, Lord. Just give them a revelation of how much you love them. I pray that not one person would reject Jesus, but every single person would accept Him and make the kingdom of God and the family of God their eternal home. And, Lord, I am praying that for your glory and honor. Real quick now, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus, you know, maybe everybody's saved, but since I don't know everybody, that's why I'm going to ask. If you've come and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and you'd like to, this way of peace that we talked about is only available to those who serve the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace. So if you're here and you don't know Jesus but you'd like to, just slip your hand up high enough so we can see it. Once I see it, I'll acknowledge it. You can put it right back down. But I do want to know who I'm praying for. If you've never accepted Jesus and you would like to today, just lift your hand. Is anybody here? Anybody with the uplifted hand, you say, I want to receive Jesus today? Anybody at all? All right, everybody lift your head up, open your eyes, and look at me. Nobody lifted your hand. I don't believe we have a room full of liars, so I believe you're all telling the truth. That means we're all saved. So if you are saved and you're not ashamed of Jesus, hold your hand up. I'm saved, but I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Hold your hand up. And if you can't hold your hand up, or if somebody next to you doesn't have their hand up, man, tell them about Jesus before they leave. Looks like every hand went up. But if you saw somebody that didn't, you let them know how good God is. And I always tell Christians, since it looks like everybody raised your hand, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in a new heavenly prayer tongue, man, let us know. Let Pastor know, me know, somebody. I'm the sound person, get you filled. I don't care. Let one of us know before you leave today. We'll make sure you get prayed for and get filled with the Holy Ghost as well. Praise God. Was this all right today? I tell you what I'm going to hear. I'm going to hear some testimonies now. Some of you that have had the problems with stress, some of you have had problems with depression, some of you have problems with bad temper and anger, and I'm going to be here in 4 months, 6 months, 10 months from now. Man, I haven't had one of those days since. And you'll be able to point back to the Word when you heard the Word and it made you free. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's lift our hands up and thank You. Lord, we just want to thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. And the word of the Lord just came unto me saying, and some of you that have had symptoms in your bodies for years, you're going to see those symptoms dissipate and leave your body in the next few weeks as you walk in this way of peace that you have learned this morning. And then those of you, there are some of you that have been praying and asking me for things, and you have felt like I haven't answered, and you've even been saying things like, I don't understand why this isn't happening, I don't understand why that's not happening, I hear the pastor say the Lord said, and I hear this person say the Lord showed me this, and other people say the Lord, but I just don't feel like I'm hearing from the Lord. And it's because you have allowed those stresses and that discouragement and that depression and those negative emotions to weigh you down where you're not on tune with me, says the Lord. But I am speaking to you. And as you live in this peace and live in this joy, then it will become clear. The airwaves will become clear for you to hear my voice. And then even your finances will be affected, says the Lord. You will prosper because I will lead you in the way that you should go. And you will prosper and you will live in my peace and my joy the way I have ordained it, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I see somebody that's been having, this isn't just one joint. This is, you've been having pain through different joints of your body, and this way of peace is even going to cause that to leave. You're not going to have that joint pain anymore because you're now applying the peace of God Almighty to your situation. You're not going to allow yourself to be stressed or depressed anymore. The way of peace, you watch, it's going to affect those joints. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.